Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whilst the following discussion is rated G, nevertheless, the contents might not be appropriate for your little ones. This is Wretched Radio. A Christian should never talk about issues of intimacy in any sort of kind of way. Nevertheless, because what makes an adult is knowledge. And as a parent, you are the one to determine how much knowledge your child gains progressively on the issues of intimacy. This may or may not be appropriate for them depending on their age. Please know this will not be salacious, because that's not the way Christians talk about this issue. Would like to take you to a verse that has been misunderstood by some because they fail to remember the analogy of Scripture. It's a tricky little verse that has some negatives and some big positives. Talking to husbands and wives, Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body. The husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. There have been some most likely cruel men. Oh, I know women can be cruel, but typically in this arena, it's the fella who would use that verse to say, "Too bad. This is what we're doing tonight." Because this verse gives them permission to do that. No, it doesn't. This verse is an encouragement for the married couple that if something is wrong in the bedroom, get it fixed. And if you're withholding this issue as a weapon, that's wrong. Get it worked out. This is not too bad. You're not in the mood. You'll do it anyway. That's not what it's commanding. Now, should we be willing when we're not? It does encourage that, but this does not mean that this verse is a club to use on another person because they don't happen to be interested in the very thing that you're interested in at this moment. So to the perhaps men, maybe women, who use this verse, not so fast. It does have an encouragement that we cannot be withholding this act from another, especially if we're using it as a weapon. The encouragement would be, you got to get it worked out. Something is off. How's your house running? I can tell you if you tell me what's going on in your bedroom. Not that I want the details. You get my point. If it's broken there, the rest of the house is kafritz. Which one comes first? It's probably the other rooms in the house are broken. Therefore, that room doesn't work. That is, I think, the correct order. It doesn't start in there and then make its way out. It's not working in there because it ain't working out here. And the encouragement of Paul is get it worked out. And don't be withholding this. Don't be acting like that. Don't be using something that is a beautiful thing, a desirous thing, as a club. That's what it does say. Doesn't say. What does it say? What is the encouragement here? Courtesy of a fellow I haven't heard of before. Jim Widener, talking about 1 Corinthians 7. This is an encouragement to make sure that our focus and base as a Christian in our relationship with husband and wife is a relationship that is based on what kind of love. In the West, of course, we just hear the word love. I love peanut M&Ms. I love
cheeseburgers.
I love the weather right now. Oh, I love the weather. Oh, and I love my wife. Now, see, something's lacking there. M&Ms are nice, but to use that same word to describe my affection for a peanutty M&M and my spouse
kind of cheapens it a little.
It's not sufficient to the task. There's a difference between agape love and eros love. Examine your home. Examine your relationship with your spouse. Think it through right now. Only you can do that. And don't think about your spouse right now. Think about you. Is the foundation of your intimate life agape love or eros love? Hey, I know Greek, Pally. Eros is the romantic love. So that's my type of romantic love. Jim is going to say, hold on. Romantic love is swell, but if that is the horse, then you've got things in the wrong direction. Eros love should be the cart. The horse for the Christian marriage is agape love. That you need to be loving sacrificially. That you are giving it up to another because you want them to be happy. You want them to be satisfied. And you don't even care if you get it in return. That's agape love. That must be the foundation for your romantic life. And here's the kicker. And God is brilliant again, isn't he? The eros will happen. But if you're seeking eros, that's it for you. You got a big problem. And this is why it's perhaps so chilly in your bedroom. You're missing the agape love. What happens in the bedroom for you, that should be the culmination of the agape that's happening out there. The eros in your bedroom is the agape that's happening in the rest of the house. Now, you would be right to tag me and say, well, does that mean that agape love doesn't happen in the bedroom too? Good catch, because it should. And that is actually what intimacy should be. I begin it with an agape love. It ends with eros. Let me take you to this article. It's called Stay Up to Date. I don't know why it doesn't seem to match. It's from harvestusa.org. Think of how destructive eros-led view of marriage is. A couple plunges into marriage, sure that they have found true love. But when the daily mundane and unpleasant work of living with another sinful human being comes to the fore, the erotic attraction fades or disappears altogether. And by the way, age can do that. Familiarity can do that. So if you're getting into this thing because you desire eros, you're in danger right out of the gate. They've lost that love and feeling. Intimacy ends. The relationship requires harder work, even as their motivation to do that hard work disappears. This happens because the foundation of the relationship was romantic eros. Perhaps mostly for you when it comes to the physical, but madam, this applies to you when it comes to the emotional, because that is eros love also. It may not express itself as physically, but there's a deep intimacy that you're longing for. That's not agape love. That still falls into the category of an eros love. A Harlequin novel equals, for some, pornography. For a Harlequin novel for a woman can equal pornography for a man.
Sure, yeah.
It's eros, and you're in danger. Now, if you're already jumping the gun and concluding, so does that mean we don't get to have any fun? That's not what is being advised here. This is a more thoughtful approach, a more godly approach to marriage that will result in more fun, if you want to use that word for it. Isn't that the kicker? You're desiring the fun, the big payoff, and you get really mad when it doesn't happen. And God says, because you're doing it wrong. So do it sacrificially. Do it with agape love. And guess what? You'll get your payoff. Brilliant. As always, counterintuitive. Constant. Equally destructive is the fact that the capacity for arousal does not disappear. It just leaves this relationship. So if you're not getting your eros in this relationship because that's all you need and want, you're not getting it because your wife doesn't, your husband isn't, you're going to go find it someplace else. It doesn't go dormant. If that's your constant engine that's revving. Eros is fickle, elusive, and spontaneous, with a spontaneity that is just as likely to attach itself to someone outside of the marriage. Or, frustrated by the elusiveness of eros love, a husband or wife can harness it to their imaginations via pornography or romance novels. And many marriages will never survive. It is to be founded, shaped by, motivated by, and sustained by intentional, deliberate, self-sacrificial, agape love. That should be your form of sexual expression. That's it. Not in it for me. I'm in this for another. That's what Paul is after in 1 Corinthians 7:4. As much as don't use intimacy as a club. that we are serving one another. And isn't that in keeping with God's character and nature? He who should have been served didn't come to be served, but gave up his life. And if we are to be mirroring him in every aspect of our life, especially our married life, which is a picture of the gospel where the man plays the role of Jesus, the woman plays the role of the church, shouldn't that be about sacrifice to especially that most intimate act, which is a foreshadowing, a foretaste of the joys of heaven when we get to be in a non-sexual, intimate relationship with our God and seeing him face to face? Shouldn't we be acting like our Savior in every aspect, including this one? Ask yourself the question that only you know the answer to. Weigh the scales of your love life. How much of it is agape and how much of it is eros? And if and you're thinking, I think that what he's trying to say is there should be no desire for eros. I just need to have a desire for agape love. Then that would be, the word I'm looking for is wrong, entirely wrong. In fact, it's so wrong that if we don't get this balance right, your love life, it might be zippy for a season, but it will be short. God's formula, it could last for a lifetime. We'll demonstrate that next on Wretched Radio. Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hey, thanks for being here today. We're glad you're spending part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio, and thank you for sharing your wretched stories with us. idea@wretched.org, that's where you send those stories to us and let us know just how wretched has affected your life. Just like this one from Edward, it's an absolutely amazing story. He said, I haven't seen my daughter in 3 years. I sent her the video, Don't Shun Your Prodigal Child, and received an email from her later that same day with an opportunity to reconcile. Absolutely amazing. I've got goosebumps reading that to you. Share your wretched stories just like Edward's with us at idea@wretched.org. We want to hear about them. And also help us make more wretched stories possible by becoming a gospel partner today. You can do that at wretched.org/donate. All of the details are available right there. wretched.org/donate. Or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who needs rich little? You might have to Google that. When you've got me, don't know if you realize this, I do impressions, and this is my impersonation of Dr. John MacArthur. I'll just riff, ad lib about the Master's Academy International in hopes that you will consider supporting your own mini seminary in one of 17 nations around the world. Here we go.
Strong pastors in strong churches impact the entire culture from the inside. And that is the vision of TMAI, to go when we are invited by indigenous pastors who want to do it biblically. And that's our mission.
Not bad, eh? Would you please check out the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor and consider adopting a seminary overseas? The fruit, magnificent. As John MacArthur would say, wretched.org/pastor.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. we can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The arrows of love.
See what I did there? That's pretty clever stuff right there. This is Wretched Radio.
A clever guy.
I could write some Hallmark cards. I'm just telling you. I could actually write some Hallmark movies is what I could write.
The Christmas season rolling around.
How do you spell predictable?
Cards?
It doesn't need to be Christmas to air out and tote out and drag out and torture us with another Hallmark Christmas movie. Hey, it's Christmas in July at Hallmark. It's Christmas at Valentine's. Okay, we got it. You don't make enough movies for the rest of the year. It is their bread and butter at the Hallmark, and they treat love in a worldly way, and we Christians, we've got a better way. Should that shock us? This is Wretched Radio, an article that caught my attention by one Jim Widener. I hope I said that right, brother. Focusing on the difference between Eros love and agape love. We love Eros love. It's the heady stuff. It's the romantic stuff. It's the thing that Hallmark movies are based on. The Christian marriage is not. That doesn't mean it's not involved. But if you put Eros first, you're putting the cart before the horse. And that is backwards. Agape love must lead our romantic wagon. Otherwise, you're probably going to get neither, frankly. Because if your primary goal in your marriage is Eros, you're not going to get it the way that you want it. And it's not going to last. It can't. Because real romance is not built on feelings. Now, some people, they can be hooked on a feeling, but they go away. They don't last. It evaporates. Over the decades, it cannot be sustained that way. God has a better way. It can be sustained through agape love. It can be done. It's done all the time. And I sure wish, I have to confess to you, this is something where I do believe that there is a blind spot in the Christian church, and in part because we do not seem to desire the wisdom of the gray hairs. We seem to give them the impression that this cannot be your grandparents' church. Imagine how grandparents feel. This is for young people. It's for cool people. And y'all, we got to do things the new way. We're the new vanguard, and you can go to Florida and count seashells. That's a shame, and that is a great loss. And I think that's the reason that there's so little talk about the issue of intimacy. And that's your warning, Mom and Dad, if this conversation is inappropriate for your kids, please make that call right now. That we can learn much from seniors. That you are going to go through chapters in your married romantic life. You're going to do it. Have you not noticed? Have you not been married for more than a month? Has it not changed already for you? Seriously? Have we not recognized, things are different? And we tend to just go, well, I guess I've lost that love and feeling. It's gone, 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 but I have to go on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When there's a better way. And I sure wish that there were more seniors talking about this. Here's another one, my dear senior brother and sister, that I sure wish you would be educating us on. This is a subject I don't know that there is a book out there. Maybe there is. I'm not aware of it. The transition into empty nesting. It is not discussed. And it hit us. I was surprised because I basically have the emotions of an ironing board. Nothing, whatever. Okay, the kids are going to move out. I thought, whoa, it just, everything, whoa, it just all changed and it's all different. And I don't think anybody doesn't go through this. We were out for a walk this weekend. Lovely weather in Atlanta, Georgia right now. This is Midwestern weather right now in the South. It's like low humidity, about 70, 71 during the day, cool in the evening. Minnesota in the fall. Nevertheless, we're out walking. And we walked by. It was a townhome. And there was just all kinds of junk in their garage. And the kids are yelling toward Mom. Not in an acrimonious way, but, Mom, what am I supposed to do with this? Put it over there. I don't know what to do with it. They weren't being nasty toward one another, but clearly they were out of sorts. And so we're just walked by and engaged her in conversation because she looked like She was pretty frantic. And we just said something polite like, well, you know, at least it's a lovely day to be having to throw away all of your stuff. And that's what we're doing. We're throwing away all of our stuff. Almost like, how did you know? Well, I know because we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. And we've been through it. And it hit us with a surprise. It hit her with a surprise, which tells me nobody's talking about this deal. When you move from the family home, you've got so much stuff. I mean, you just find a place for it. Hey, what am I supposed to do with this broken screwdriver? Just, you know, put it in the toolbox. It's and you just keep it. And then you move into something smaller and you don't have room and you've got to make decisions. Now, if you've gone through this, this is just going to resonate. You go through round one and you go, well, I think we did pretty good. Whoa, we're not even close. Okay, round two, we're going to go, wow, we still have to get rid of more stuff. Round seven. And nobody's talking about it. Why? Because our seniors aren't talking about it. Because, frankly, so many of our seniors are gone or they're not allowed in. Now, if they know about transitioning from having kids in the house to empty nesters, and they do, and they can teach and warn and advise and counsel and say, get ready for it. It's going to hit you and you're going to have all kinds of emotions. This woman that we were talking to, she said, my son, he loves it here. Loves it. My daughter is just, she could cry at the drop of a Kleenex. And are we going to be happy here? Is this going to work out? I mean, this lifestyle that we've, and the kids are gone. I don't know if they're going to want to come back to, and an elderly saint can let them know how it tends to play out. How much more so with intimacy? How much more so with sexual issues? It's going to change. It's going to. You've seen the commercials, haven't you? Things are going to be different. And if you think you're going to get through it and you will experience changes, it is biological and it is inevitable, likely for both male and female. How are you going to get through it if it's based on zippy love? Just, come on, let's go. You're in trouble. You're in big trouble. And that's what 1 Corinthians 7:4 is in part after. That you need to build your romantic life on agape, sacrificial love. I am doing this not for my self-pleasure, but for the pleasure of the other. And if that is your mindset, that is going to build the amount of eros love you have, because that will be very attractive to the other, and it's going to set you up for the long haul. It will. Back to the article from Jim Weidenauer. Your sex life is not captive to the whims of erotic attraction. If husband and wife are motivated to move toward the other sexually on the basis of an intentional commitment to give to the other sacrificially, sex will not be limited to those rare moments when the erotic stars align. You've seen the commercials. For some reason, two adults in their 50s are sitting in a bathtub overlooking the mountains. I don't know who does that, but that's the commercial that I remember seeing. And then they hold hands, and we all get the point. Ah, everything, okay, we're good to go now. And then you have to wait for the next bathtub scene in the mountains, or when the mood is right, or you're building it on persistent, consistent agape love, even after you turn out the lights. Isn't it obvious that a people applying Paul's instruction will have intimacy more often? The irony is that this will result in much more eros in marriage, not less. It's not the driving force. It is a fruit of agape. Sir, do you want more of eros? Then give more agape, and you will be satisfied in both arenas. Isn't that brilliant? And isn't that acting like God, who gives and gives and gives and gives? Isn't that what attracted us to him? It is what? It is God's kindness, his loving kindness, his merciful benevolence, his tender mercies, his sacrificial love. That's what wooed us to the Savior. It is his kindness that leads to repentance. And that will be an attractive thing to your spouse if you are acting in that sacrificial manner. There is hope for your marriage, furthermore, despite your personal history of eros. So let's just say you've got a lot of bad eros in your past. Between the two of you, if you move it into the realm of agape, you'll move past any of those hurts and wounds. And as you grow old, and as your bodies change, your ability to participate in spontaneous eros love will fade. But sacrificial agape love will prolong your love life, because it will no longer be about performance. It will no longer be about the candles are lit, the rose petals are on the floor, the kids are gone, everything is right, nobody's tired or needing a nap. And it will be entered and engaged in, not because the mood is right, but because it's built on agape love, and you'll work through those issues that nobody talks about, knock, knock, seniors, because you have built your romantic life on the correct foundation, and that is the foundation of agape love. Question, what is your bedroom built on? This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friedman.
No, I'm not suggesting we can't laugh about it. This is Wretched Radio. You can scour the internet. Now, you don't even need to scour it. Just go to any comedy site, go to the YouTube machine, and type in words like...
dogs.
No, not dogs. I'm wanting to make sure that the language is appropriate here.
Oh.
Let's just say issues of getting older for the female gender. And there's plenty of comedians who make jokes about it. And, you know, they got to have the air conditioning at 42 degrees because they're hot all the time. And it can be funny, and it's appropriate. And I'm not condemning a comedian for doing those jokes. But it seems to me inside of the church, that's about as far as we go. I know these subjects, they're uncomfortable, but they shouldn't be. That's the point. We let the world intimidate us into doing a great big shutdown because, well, these things are awkward. They can be awkward, but they shouldn't be.
It's
no,
life.
It is life. Everybody's going to get older. You just got older. 10 seconds older, but you just got older. And typically for young people, of course, there's more joke fodder, rightly so. They think they're indestructible because, frankly, they almost are. Nevertheless, they don't think these things will happen to them. And I think then when they happen to them, issues of aging, whether it's just biological, whether it's intimate issues, whether it's issues of empty nesting and transitioning from kids in the house to out of the house, wham, it just hits them. And they're blindsided by it. Because there isn't appropriate talk on these subjects.
Yeah, I mean, I know of a couple that is going through that right now. I mean,
you know a lot of couples.
I'm sure I do. I know more. It's just not being talked about. It's not being talked about in the church. It's not being talked about, you know, anywhere. It's just this empty nesting idea just kind of hit them off guard. And now they're sitting there like, now it's just us.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we do?
Exactly. I went to a marriage seminar with Dr. John Street, whom I have the privilege of seeing next week, I believe, when we're out at the Masters Academy. Well, we'll probably be seeing the Masters Academy, but as long as I brought him up, might as well tell you to go to their website, because it is, every time I think about the Masters Academy International, I'm like, Boeing, how brilliant is this? These are seminarians who were trained at the Masters Seminary, who then go back to their foreign land from which they came, and they set up little mini seminaries, if you will, training centers to equip pastors to learn what they've done learned in Los Angeles when they went to seminary for a number of years. This is so smart. It's so efficient. It is so cost effective. They don't need to be taught the culture. They don't need to be taught the language. I remember some friends of mine that became missionaries overseas, and they had to learn. Oh, learn Japanese is so difficult. Learn Chinese, write Chinese, learn the symbols. It's so, how's about though, if a Chinese person or a Korean or somebody from Vietnam comes to America because they speak English, they learn theology at the Master Seminary, and then they go back home and they teach others. It's like, duh. What have we been thinking about? That's the Master's Academy International. You can actually sponsor your own seminary. They're in 16, maybe 17 countries now. Go to wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor. And then look for the country where you maybe have a heart. And then support a seminary there to equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. I'll be visiting them when I'm out at the Master's Academy International. No, I did it again. The Master's University. They need to come up with a different name somewhere. I'm going to talk to... Well, I was going to say talk to John MacArthur, but he doesn't let me talk to him. So the point is, going to be at the Master's University and going to be talking with Dr. John Street. And at his marriage seminar that I attended about a year ago, I wanted to learn because he knows more stuff than I do because he's older than I am, been married longer, and he's been studying the subject. He warned about this. If you do not prepare yourself for empty nesting, you are going to be in for a rocky ride. You're going to be your cart's going to be turned over. And if you're thinking right now, no, our life is not revolving around the kids, you're wrong. It is. Now, I'm not saying you're a kid-driven home like, yeah, we want to go to the park. Okay, we'll go to the park because it's the only thing that keeps you quiet. I'm not saying you're that, but it's just that's the fabric of your life. It's just getting ready for school. Do you have your backpack? Do you have your lunch inside of the backpack? Did you get your homework done? Did you bring in the... After school, what are you doing? How are you going to get to the... That just happens.
Yeah.
And that's right and good and appropriate. Now, that gets removed. And all of a sudden, you're staring at that man or woman you were staring at oh so many years ago at the altar. And it's just the two of you. And if you have not at least thought through that, you're going to be flipped in some way, shape, or form. And a lot of marriages don't survive it. And that's the first time I was like, duh. When Dr. John Street said, have you ever heard about those couples? They've been married for 35 years and they're getting divorced and you wonder why. This is why. And I'm like, wow, because I have wondered that. How is it that these people who can be married for so long, you'd think they'd have it figured out by now? Well, no, what they have figured out is that they're living life with kids. That's what they've got figured out. And that's working because you can be really distracted and busy. And a lot of things can be sacrificed that are really helpful and healthy for a Christian marriage at the altar of children. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. Nobody's talking about it. And the same thing is true with intimacy. I was watching one of my favorite comedians, and so I'm not going to say his name because I don't want this to sound like a diss. It was just funny. And everybody laughed. It was about intimacy for him and his wife. They've been married 30, 35 years, whatever. And they've got a question to answer. It's Friday night. It's Saturday night. Yeah, let's just watch Dateline. It's just easier. It's less work. And everybody laughed because it's funny and it's okay. My point is not to condemn comedy. It's that we don't talk about this in serious ways. Ask, maybe your church is different. I've never been to a church, and including my own, which is a wonderful church. I'm not dissing my church or your church. We just seem to have a blind spot for this one, where older men are talking to younger men and preparing them for this, and older women talking to younger women about this stuff.
So as a younger man asking an older man.
No, not now.
Yeah, I'd like to ask, you've been through it and you have wisdom. You've had the kids and now empty nesters. For someone who has kids, I have four kids, and we'll have our 10-year anniversary this year. Our oldest is 7. So for 7 years of our 10 years of marriage, we've had children. How did... you keep into perspective priorities between not centering everything around just your relationship with your kids? How did you and the wife keep things?
Here's, you know what, I think that either or setup is the ditch right there.
Okay.
It's not either or. Here's the reality. Kids are going to consume your home. That's, yeah. They're just needy and that's right. And that's good. And believe me, enjoy these years because they're super sweet. I'm not saying, well, that's it. I just need to focus on my romantic life with my spouse, and the kids are just going to have to learn to make meals for themselves. No, that's not it, even remotely. It's not an either-or sort of scenario. I might suggest this, because I never, as we were going through it, I wasn't cognizant of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't talk about it. We don't hear older men talking about it at church.
Yeah, because nobody did with me either. So when it hit us, it was like, okay, wait now. This is now. Here's the good news for us. Whew, I dig my wife. That's really important. And I'd like to think vice versa. So even though there were lots of emotions and there were tears about, you know, the kids and the moving, because we still love one another, you get through that stuff. Sure. And you know, and we had to do it very blindly, kind of confused about why would this be happening? And what are we supposed to do? Those are very fair questions. The only thing that I would say to you at your stage is, if you right now, here's what we tend to hear. This would be the typical advice for your very important question, Mike. Yeah. They would say, well, then here's what you need to do. You need to have date night every week. Yeah. And set aside the time to make sure that.
That's exactly what I've heard.
And I would say that's fine if you want to do that. But I think that there's a better approach to it that involves date night. If you do not still long to go on date night with your spouse, you got to go fix something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's off. Right now, you're in danger. If the thought of, okay, fine, but I'm so exhausted, but fine. If I'm supposed to be clearing off the schedule so that we can go out on Saturday night with a babysitter and you know what it costs. Okay, fine. Couldn't we just stay home and do... I mean, we can put the kids to bed and watch a movie. Okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong right there. And I don't know what it is. Maybe you do or don't. Go find it and fix it. And I'm talking specifically to you, sir. That's your job. You want to seek and find mission? This is it. If you don't have any sort of buzz, if you don't have, get ready for this, any Eros interest in your spouse, something's wrong. And I would encourage you to find out what it is. Seek the counsel of an older man. You're going to have to be willing to be transparent. Talk to him about it. Get some advice about it. And then act like a man and fix it. That's male leadership, by the way. Everybody tends to think male leadership is, all right, we're getting the blue car. That's it. I've settled this. That's not male leadership. It's seeing that there's something deficient and jumping in and doing it, even if you take a beating in the process, because you are the leader of the house spiritually and even romantically and in the marriage. If there is a problem with date night, there's a bigger problem. Sir, my encouragement, fix it. This is Wretched Radio. Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministries. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Okay, so this may or may not be the most wonderful time of the year in many regards, but if you're a gospel partner, we want to ask you to join us here at Wretched in rejoicing for two reasons. First, regardless of what's going on in this crazy, out-of-control world we're in, Jesus Christ still reigns, and he's still in total and thorough control of, well, everything. The second thing is, we want you to take a moment to rejoice in knowing that we partnered together to reach more people in 2020 than any other year. And because of the ongoing faithful and financial support of our gospel partners, we have absolutely no intentions of slowing down at all. And if you're not a gospel partner, we would truly be grateful if you would prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner of Wretched. And then next year, at this same time, we can rejoice together for the same two reasons. To become a gospel partner, it's easy. Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Thank you, gospel partners, and have a Merry Christmas.
This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $8.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I have decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry. That would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched?
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church, which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Before we get to this, I better make sure the windbag is out of steam. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, Jimmy, you've been hogging the floor. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we move on to something else?
Did you just call me a windbag?
Mr. Windbag. You haven't said boo, bro.
Because you told me I make too much noise. So I made zero
That's
noise.
Your rattly furniture, not what comes out of your pipes. How many years have you been married?
17 years yesterday.
Happy. Hold on, I can fix this. I can remedy this situation. All right, 17 years in, any of the stuff that we've been talking about, does it resonate with you? Because you're pretty far into the game right now.
Absolutely. It does. It does.
Have you ever had an elderly man in your life, and maybe you have because it does happen, have you had an elderly man in your life talk to you about, okay, you're 17 years in, here's kind of what the chapter looks like for you, and here's the next chapter coming and how to prepare?
No. Absolutely not. I've had elderly men in my life give me advice, but the wrong advice.
Well, there's that, yeah. Too. It tends to be the wrong advice. These are the issues, in my estimation, ironically, are the very issues that women long to discuss. These are the deep things and their deep waters that they want you, sir, with a bucket to go down into and pull it up. They want this from you. They want to talk about these deep things. And I'm not talking about chick couch talk. Because maybe you've uttered that response. I'm not your girlfriend, okay? If you want to cry about stuff, then call up the girls and go out with them. Go out with them. That's just, please, I've worked hard all day. They long for this. They want this. And you don't have to become a girl in order to do it. And this is my promise to you. You start treading into these waters. You will go deeper, sir, than you ever imagined. And you will have experiences with your spouse that you didn't even know existed. And you will find yourself more intimate with another human being. And I'm not talking about the physical at the moment. More deep with that person than anybody you will ever have. And when I say anybody, I don't mean anybody, B-O-D-Y, anybody, B-U-D-D-Y. You got your bros? That's cool. You think that you talk about the deep things with them? Not even close.
Yeah, and it's not a come home, hey, how you doing? How was the day? How were the kids?
This is
good. Okay.
And this is the irony. This is how dumb I am. If you think that I'm the marriage guru, not even close. Ask Mrs. Friel. She'll tell you.
I have.
Real fast. I know. You know what? Okay, Jimmy. I was going to play this for you.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
But I'm not going to now.
I'm sorry.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it. Happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
All right, we've had enough of that. Happy anniversary. When we took the course that Roger Patterson helped write from Answers in Genesis, he's my buddy at AIG. Please, by the way, if you haven't been to the Ark, if you have not gone to the Creation Museum, get there. I mean it. Get there. First of all, you'll be blessed like a nobody's business. Second of all, I don't know of any ministry that has taken a bigger hit through this COVID business than Answers in Genesis. It's like the government went, we're just turning off the spigot of all of your support that keeps your ministry going. Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, it is da bomb. I'm not commending it because, well, they just need some support. No, you will be blessed by it. Roger Patterson, he took our drive-by marriage presentation that we've got. It's MP3, DVD, whatever it is. It's just talking. Like 30, 40, 15-minute sessions on this subject. And Roger Patterson wrote a curriculum to go with it. We taught it in our subdivision. And as we were asking the other couples to sit down and go through the questions, Mrs. Friel and I sat down and went through the questions. Oh, wow. And I thought I knew the subject matter because I was a part of the presentation. And it was like, and as we were talking about some of these questions and getting downwind of ourselves and talking about our genuine, like the feelings down there, oh, wow, I did not realize that intimacy without the physical part could be so profound. It'll happen to you, but you've got to be willing to embark into that. And sir, this is what makes a man in my estimation, because you have been lied to and thinking, well, that's what makes you a girl. No, it's what makes you a man, that you do get into these conversations, not so that you can become like Oprah. Okay, she's probably not all that soft and sensitive, at least behind the scenes. Nevertheless, you will be playing the role of spiritual leader in your home. And I'm telling you, you're not going to hate it. It might be a challenge for you. You want to do it? You want to do something challenging? Do this. Get into these conversations with your spouse. Try intimacy. Do you think, can you right now, sir, let me ask you a question. Can you right now with your spouse sit down on the couch tonight, the kids are in bed, and talk in detail about your thoughts about what happens in the bedroom? Could you do that tonight? I mean, everything. What bugs you? What delights you? What you'd prefer? All of those things. Could you do it? And guess what? If you can't, you got some work to do. You're not there yet, buddy. You're not there. Neither am I. But we got to be aiming in that direction. That's what a spiritual leader does. Empty nesting? You're not talking about it? Start talking about it. Start talking about deep things. How are you feeling about this, honey? What is this going to look like when our kids are gone? Let's spend some time just talking about it over dinner. Maybe you need something to chat about. You've tapped out on so many things. Here you go. Here's a deep well. Just dig in and go. How's about being able to talk about the reasons that you fight? How's about the things that you wish would have happened in this marriage but didn't? Can you talk about it without being acrimonious? Sir, this is your spiritual job. And I don't know that many people are framing the man's role in the marriage in this context. I don't think this is the framework that's typically built. It's more like, well, the man needs to be able to lead the house and make sure that everything's running right and that the kids are obedient and your wife is happy. Yeah, got it. And how exactly does this work? And that tends to be where it stops. And if you don't, sir, have the ability to do that, then here's my challenge to you. Go find a senior in your church, a man, and ask him to go out and ask him these questions. First of all, he's going to be so glad you did. He's going to be so thrilled and so honored and so happy to be able to give the information that he has won with a lot of hard knocks. Oh, he's going to love that. You'll bless that elderly gentleman, and you're going to be blessed like nobody's business. And now that's the easy part. Saying to another man, here's our struggle in the bedroom. You can do that. That's probably pretty easy. But now going home and applying it and figuring it out, that's your job. Sir, the word for husband is gardener. You're a husbandman. How does your garden grow? If there are weeds in your marriage bed, it's your job to pluck them out because you're the one who planted them. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. You should. Oh, if you knew what I deal with this woman. You're the husbandman. Nobody ever looks at a garden that is filled with weeds or that is not sprouting up and thinks, oh, the problem is the pestilence. No, the problem is the husbandman who didn't deal with the assault. The weeds grow at your permission only, sir. That is spiritual leadership. And that is so much more manly than any sort of leadership that we typically hear about. Because it's got to be manly. It's got to be stinky. It's got to involve steak. It's got to involve football. Okay, fine. Do those things. This is a man's work. And if you're not there, and I'm not, and I'm suspecting that you're not either, then aim for it and start getting into the water deeper and deeper and deeper. And the blessing to your spouse and to your family and to the statistic of marriage in the evangelical community, which all too often sees people who have been married for decades, the peaceable uncoupling? Oh, we still love the kids and you know, we still get along. Still my best friend. Liar. They were your best friend, you'd still be married.
Amen.
And that's what the world says. Dude, could I encourage you? Get into it. Today. Start diving in deep. And if Siri, I'm not doing this for the sake of a plug, but if you need a tool for this, I'm telling you, Drive By Marriage, you're gonna lose your mind. And do the study guide. Embrace yourself. It's not going to be snarky. It's not going to be accusatory. It's not going to make you feel like dirt. You'll get that all by yourself. It will bring you deep and it will bring you low, which is exactly where we're supposed to be in a marriage, so that we can be pursuing not Eros love, but agape love. Double dog dare, sir. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.